What you drinking tonight, girl?
Tonight, I am having a tequila, an orange with some water.
Ooh, tequila and orange. I think I might have tequila, depending on what Will can whip up for me. He's working on it, so maybe we'll both be tequilaing together tonight. It's a wild kind of night.
Exciting,
What do we
exciting.
have? What do we have out there in internet land? Lisa has some red wine on tap. Yes, girl. I love me my red wine. Oh, Michaela has a cup of tea in her PJs.
Oh,
She's the
I love it.
cutest. I know. Me too. We'll just give everybody like a couple minutes to get here before we start telling stories. I just like to give people a second. How are you? How are things?
Things are great. I want to wish Veronica's online right now. I want to
Yeah.
wish her a happy 40th birthday.
Oh my gosh, happy birthday,
Yeah, it was a couple days ago, so
Veronica. Everybody
yeah.
send her like hearts and loves in the chat. She's a super awesome supporter and is like fun and active on our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the same lady?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, I love you, Veronica. So cool.
Yes. Ooh, John has some French pastries.
Oh, John, I'm so always jealous of what he has.
And he's doing the dishes, so
Dude,
multitasking.
you know what? Live your best dishes, pastry life. Keep it going.
I keep getting confused because the screen is opposite, so I want to grab my drink over here, but like,
That's not where that is.
mm-mm.
Nope.
No.
I don't think we have any business to get to before we start going. We have a lot. We have people here. Yay.
Awesome. Oh, let me share this.
Okay. Yeah, I should do that too, but like, give me a minute. Nikki's got tea too.
Everyone listening, just hit share.
Yeah, if you can
Share, share,
share us, that
share.
would be amazing. It's
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that right now. Look, I'm doing it. I did it. I hope everyone enjoyed our first Black Dahlia installment this week. And if you haven't gotten to it yet, don't worry about it. You have plenty of time. We had a lot of fun researching that one, and we're still going.
Yep.
A lot more info for you guys next week. Okay. So, ooh, we have 19 people watching.
Let's do this shit.
Yeah.
I'm
Are you gonna bring the heat?
bringing the heat, Allie.
Do I feel a little
Bringing it.
heat coming off
I
your
do.
snuggie over
Yeah, it's coming from the fireplace.
there? I don't remember whose turn it is to start. Did I start last week?
Mine.
It's
Yeah.
your turn. Yay. Okay. So I'm excited to hear your story. I know it's going to scare me a lot because I know your topic is terrifying.
Oh my
John
God.
says don't hit share with a CH, but I like share.
Wow.
Yes. Okay, so tell us what you're talking about.
Okay, so my story is about shadow people.
They're so
And
scary.
there are so many lights in here causing shadows to appear right now.
It's your
But
fire.
yeah. Oh my God, it's horrible.
You're gonna
All
be
right.
okay.
Yeah, this resurfaced some memories for me, so.
Oh no, you have like shadow people in your past?
Yeah.
What?
We'll talk about that. We'll
I
bring it
can't
up.
wait. I feel bad for you, but I can't wait.
Yeah. This story I had been writing for about 3 days. I had to keep taking breaks because the deeper I got into it, I was terrified. I was like, I can't. I need to sleep tonight.
Oh my God.
I
I'm
woke up like
excited
four
now.
times last night. Oh,
No, was
I
it at
hated it.
3 a.m.? Were you afraid of
It was a
death?
3 a.m.er. Ooh, that
Oh.
is some fanciness.
I know there's booze in my French press. It's
That's awesome.
quarantine,
You
whatever.
can't see it in the video, but it looks really awesome.
I love
All
it. All right, so
right.
tell us about wait, oh, John is an expert on this topic. Oh, cool. So more people have some shadow people in their
Oh
life.
no, I'm
Let
nervous.
Don't be nervous.
All
Every experience is its own and is valid.
right. Well, let's do our
As Dr.
opening.
Phil would say.
Oh my God. No Dr. Phil tonight.
Don't sue me, Dr. Phil.
Oh.
I couldn't resist. It was right there. All right,
Yeah.
shadow
Okay.
people.
All right, let's do our opening, but can I do it? Can I start it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Holly.
And we would be dead.
Oh, we would be horribly dead.
Yeah, I did it.
You did do it. Good job.
All right. Here's my story. Again, it's about shadow people for all that are watching. We've all caught ourselves scared by one of our own shadows. We know that shadows are created when an object or a body come into contact with light rays that hit a surface. But what if you saw something that wasn't a trick of the light? And what if it wasn't your shadow? Stories of creatures that go bump in the night are meant to scare us and probably don't exist. But for many, the dark, shadowy, humanoid figures known as shadow people are very real and very terrifying. Ugh. For those who are skeptics, feel lucky that you just haven't been visited by one yet.
Oh, I don't like yet.
I know. I had to pause there for a day and then get back to writing.
I don't blame you. That's scary.
Have you ever been sitting on your couch or lying in bed at night watching TV or maybe grabbing a midnight snack in the kitchen and out of the corner of your eye, you see what looks to be a shadowy figure in the room? We can chalk it up to your eyes playing tricks on us, that it was the light from the TV or the refrigerator, or maybe a car just drove by. But sometimes, even if you can explain it away, you still saw what you saw. And then, after some research, especially when you go to Reddit and ask these questions.
You're the one that lives in Reddit. I can't.
You find out that millions of others all around the world also saw what you saw. And some of these people continue to see what you saw. And then you find out that all these people, well,
are fake. No.
All these people are fake.
They're all imaginary. Yeah. Sorry.
And then you find out that not all these people make it out unscathed.
Ooh. I hate it.
So what did you see? Let's talk about it.
I'll see you.
All right.
Okay.
Most people have reported that shadow people are darker than night silhouette of a human-like entity. When they get a look at it, they find themselves staring into emptiness, and then it vanishes. Sometimes the shadow may flicker, and sometimes it's very solid. Sometimes it's seen wearing a hat, and other times without.
Wait, sometimes, hat.
I know. Sometimes it's just one, and sometimes it's 20. And most of the time, it quickly dissipates, but not always.
20? Get out of here.
Do you guys want me to continue? We can stop now.
No. Keep going.
The existence of shadow people dates back to ancient times. The Quran mentions pitch black sapient beings that aren't entirely spiritual or physical. And people in ancient Europe reportedly believed that shadow beings desired blood and without it couldn't be reborn.
Blech.
In Cherokee folklore, the Raven Mocker was described almost exactly like shadow people, and as legend has it, the spirit of a dead Cherokee witch that would come back from the other world to prey on the living.
That is a badass name, the Raven Mocker.
No, I want to be called that now.
I want to like have a boat and name it that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Would be a great boat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ravens would hate it.
No, it's fine.
In many cases over the last several decades, witnesses described the sense of being watched and discovering the shadow person observing them. Once noticed, the shadow person seems to flee quite rapidly, sometimes traveling through walls or closed doors and bushes. Sometimes they simply fade into the dark recesses of the night. Shadow people never communicate verbally with their witnesses, and some have reported thinking the shadows aren't even aware that they're being observed. So, some report them as menacing, scary, creepy, and harboring evil intent. Some feel that they are the true form of a ghost. Some claim that they are time travelers or an interdimensional being. Just on a visit to our current time and place. Many have also concluded that these flickers of darkness are on a mission to watch over and guide us along life's path. I like that one the best.
That's nicer. Pod Dog is here.
Hi, Pod Dog.
That was late.
However, those taking a different slant feel shadow people are a result of physiological and psychological conditions, sleep deprivation or paralysis, illusions, hallucinations, the beginnings of dementia, drug or alcohol use, or the side effects of medication.
Oh man, Will gets sleep paralysis. Will, have you seen shadow people?
Yeah.
He says he has seen them.
Oh, I should have talked to him.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
He's probably like terrified right now.
He's right there.
They're like aliens.
He said they're like aliens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That well, makes it way worse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think that they might be.
Oh, hateful. Mm-hmm.
So before I go into the types of shadow people that I have discovered, I want to dive deeper into sleep paralysis. So we'll go right into what Will has.
I'm here for you.
Okay, thanks. Because this is something that science says they have answered. Oh, wait.
I love it, answer.
Forget that sentence.
Oh, and that's gone. I never heard it. Look at the dog. He's so cute. All better.
Maybe in not all cases, but certainly some. Sorry, guys. I'm a terrible writer.
Okay. Get out of here.
So we're going to talk about sleep paralysis. It's believed that somewhere between 25 and 50% of adults in the U.S. have or will experience sleep paralysis at some point in their lives, and the incident can be horrifying. Sleep paralysis occurs when you're in REM sleep, so your deep sleep phase. It's erupted or it's either interrupted or it occurs too quickly.
Erupted.
Yeah. It's erupted. When you sleep, the brain paralyzes us to prevent us from acting out in our dreams, which is actually pretty cool, but can be very scary if you get trapped in this in-between state of wakefulness and dreaming and can't move or have visions of hallucinations.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
One of the most common hallucinations in these scenarios is the feeling that there's someone or something in the room. Some people even feel like a demon is sitting on their chest.
That's what Will's waving in confirmation that he has had that experience.
Oh,
so I'm like right next to you and that's happening. Ugh.
Yeah.
There's a demon.
You just have to vanish.
I know. There's demons in my room, apparently.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, right.
So I have discovered about four kinds of shadow people.
Oh.
Yes. The first one are lurkers.
Lurkers. I don't want to name my boat that.
Generally found in homes and very often around bedrooms, these figures will look more human-like, maybe wearing a cloak or a coat or even a hat. They will stand in doorways or corners and just watch their victims. This type of shadow entities don't generally seem to have any intent. They are just there observing. Sometimes they will wander a location, following people or stalking them. Quite often, they flee at being noticed, vanishing around corners, or simply by going through solid walls. Encounters with this class of shadow people typically install a sense of dread or foreboding, whether this is part of our instinctive reaction to seeing something dark in the night, or if they actually exude a sense of fear around them is open to debate. Some seem to just be observing us with unspoken intent.
Oh, hate them. That's like the Babadook, right? Yeah. He was like a shadow guy with a hat.
Yeah.
I couldn't even finish that movie, and I'm pretty good with scary things, but I couldn't get through it.
Yeah. This class of shadow people seems primarily to be attached to an individual and have been known to follow from one location to the next. So there was a lot of stories of people saying when they were younger, they would see these shadows. And then when they would leave their parents' house and move to their own apartment or house, they would still see them. So that's annoying. Caution should be used, though, with any of these entities as a neutral, you should use caution because even though that they don't seem malicious, some of them might actually be malicious. So you don't want to open yourself up to them.
I feel like they seem malicious.
Yeah. Some people are like, hey, we just coexist, but
no, I'm not coexisting with them.
Yeah. All right. So the second type I found is the aggressive ones, the aggressors. Similar to lurkers, but they have a malicious intent. These are the ones that may try to suffocate or rid you of all joy. These ones remind me more of demons in Catholicism. The trick is to keeping them at bay. The trick to keeping them at bay is to not open yourself up to being taken over by them. This is why most of the aggressive entities seem to take those in a weakened state. The most common forms of aggressors seem to be the Hat Man and the elderly woman with a long nose and long fingernails, sometimes wearing like a drape or something, almost like a cartoon witch.
I don't like any of that. Mm-hmm. If that was in my room in the middle of the night, I would be horrified.
Yeah.
Apparently it is in my room in the middle of the night.
All right. The third type are visitors. These seem to be a class of shadow people that are less interested in what we are doing but have their own agenda. They are seen typically going from one place to another and seem to not be particularly interested in the goings-on of those that observe them. Of all the types of shadow people, these are the least understood as they do not linger and interact with us. These ones are probably like the aliens. Yeah. I know you hate aliens.
I hate aliens more than anything. They scare me so bad.
All right. And then the last type are the omens. Some sightings of shadow people may be tied to something bad happening. It could be a warning, or it could be that they are collecting the dead. Similarly to the lurking type shadow people, these entities are generally associated with just one person and are a more transitory occurrence, stopping after the event or tragedy has taken place. So those are the types of shadow people I have come across.
I don't like one of those.
Yeah, nor do I.
It's right, like my worst fears. I hate the Babadook and I hate aliens, and this is like they had a baby.
And a lot of these, so I don't think I wrote some accounts that people had, some firsthand accounts.
In here, yes, I want to hear them.
I don't think that one of them talks about the height. And this is something I can speak to, but the height is very similar. So they say it's generally like a 6 foot, especially if it's kind of the one that reminds them of a male. It seems to be 6 feet, but can range from 7 to 10, which is very similar. Mm-hmm. And it has like long lankiness, and when you look in the face, it's just void of
very slender man. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there were a lot of people in the Reddit accounts where they were like, no, I think you're talking about Slender Man, because he's clearly trying to, like, you know, take you on as one of his minions versus like a shadow person that's just kind of there. You can like vanish them. You can't vanish Slender Man though.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
You cannot.
Okay. So, no matter if the witness is a child or adult, he or she always sees the same thing. All eyewitnesses account, no matter which country, continent, or language, gives a glimpse at what was seen and experienced in the presence of shadow people. But this glimpse is a monotonous one. The only thing that is not always the same is the fear factor. Some people say when they're in the presence of the shadow people that they start to feel dread. And
yeah, you would. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But some people are like, no, I don't feel that. I just think that's almost where they might think it might be one of those like alien kinds, like, or just somebody passing through the dimensions. Yeah.
No.
So many paranormal researchers have studied the phenomenon and particularly agree on one aspect of it. Whatever or whoever these entities are, they feed off human energy, emanate bad vibrations, and negative emotions. All right. So, I am now going to share an array of firsthand accounts.
This is what's going to freak me out. I know it. And I just think that, like, the fact that everybody sees them the same, that's scary. That lends, like, credence to it.
And I'm going to read most of these in the first person, just so you know.
Please do.
Okay.
Tell us a story.
Once, when I was maybe 4, I saw several very clear human shadows on a wall. They looked like people waiting for a subway train or maybe guests at a museum milling around in front of a painting. They seemed to be watching me and my family. We were all sleeping at my grandparents'. They had a small house, so we had to set up a bed and blankets and pillows on the living room floor. My dad and brother were already asleep. I sat upright, just staring at them watching us. They seemed very casual and relaxed, in what looked like them walking and talking to each other. They seemed very much like silhouettes of living humans. I also got the sense that they didn't know that I could see them. I eventually got up and found my mom in the kitchen and calmly told her why I was still awake. She was definitely freaked out.
Calmly?
Calmly, yeah. Well, she was like a little four-year-old. She was just like,
oh, yeah.
This is weird.
Still.
Yeah. I also think this was one of the, a bunch of these people had seen like several of them. I just took their best ones.
Well, I like the best ones, so.
Next one. I saw the shadow person in my great aunt's house when I was about 8. All of us were outside saying goodbye to each other when I looked up into a second story window and saw a shadow figure that was turned to the side. The shadow quickly moved to the left as if it was sucked in that direction. It was like the movement was being led by the shadow's chest, if that makes any sense. It was really freaky, and when I thought about the layout of the house, the shadow would have been moving into a closet.
Mm-mm.
Several times at different ages growing up and even in adulthood, I have encountered shadow people, always while I'm in between state of sleep and waking up, and they always climb up on me and try to suffocate me.
No.
Sleep paralysis one.
Yeah, for real.
I say they because it usually seems like there is more than one. And every time this happens, I'm fully aware that I'm in my bed and that I'm fighting sleep paralysis. It's truly horrifying.
Mm-mm.
This one is like one of the Omen versions.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
An older man dying of cancer was seeing up to 20 shadow people around his bed daily.
That's too many. I mean, one is too many, but that's nuts.
No one else could see them, and he was pretty calm about them, but one day asked his wife if they could do an overnight at a hotel that was about 150 miles away.
Mm.
While at the hotel, she finds out that he was hoping to get away from the shadow people, but they followed him there. After they got home, she prayed for the shadows to vanish, and unaware of her prayers, the old man was elated to find out or to, you know, see that they were no longer around. But he died shortly after that.
Like, oh. The next day. They, like, came for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I don't like that.
All right, here's the last one.
Okay. These make me wholly uncomfortable. I could talk about murders all day, but I hate shadow people.
Okay. I'm like so shaky right now. Okay.
I don't blame you. It was terrible.
Around 7 years old, I began sensing someone in my room with me at night. My bed was against one of the walls, so when I would go to sleep, I would face the wall and pull the covers up towards my eyes. I would try to keep my eyes closed as long as possible in hopes I would fall asleep ASAP. Every few weeks for the next several years, I would wake up with the sense that if I turned around, I would see someone standing there. Sometimes I would whisper, "Mom," in case she would just be checking up on me, but no one ever responded. Sometimes I would start crying loudly so my parents would come into the room, causing the presence to disappear. Sometimes I would stare at the wall for a while, trying to muster the courage to turn over to prove to myself nothing was there. But I knew there was. I slept with rosary beads and a cross over my head. I wasn't actually Catholic, but I liked praying to Mary rather than Jesus. Sometimes I fell asleep while saying the rosary. One night, after about a year of this, I got into bed, facing the wall, and pulling the covers up to my face. I fell asleep pretty quickly, but woke up in the middle of the night. This time I was not facing the wall. I was facing the room. And standing right in front of me, close to my bed, was a dark silhouette of a man with a hat.
Oh, the hat!
I was too scared to move at first. A few weeks prior, my Nana had passed away, so without too much thought, I yelled, "Nana!
Nana!"
and closed my eyes, pulled the sheets over my head, and tried to keep myself from wetting the bed.
Oh.
After a few moments, I felt tension in the room ease. I slowly peeped one eye out of the sheets, and the figure had disappeared. I said thank you to my Nana, hugged my stuffed animal a little tighter, and I fell back asleep soon after. After that point, whenever I had a feeling the figure would return, I would yell for my Nana, and I would instantly feel a sense of relief. After I turned 10, the occurrences diminished. Every now and then, I still get the feeling of someone in the room with me, but I just call to my Nana, and any haunting feeling vanishes. I had forgotten about that man in the black hat until Holly suggested that I look up shadow people for this week's story.
That was you?
That was my story, you jerk.
I hate that. Wait. That was your Nana?
That was my Nana.
My kid's called Dottie Nana.
I know. That was Will and Mai's Nana.
Oh, Will, are you hearing this?
It probably started when he had to babysit me in second grade.
It's probably Will's fault. Probably. First of all, don't face the wall ever. You can't see what's coming. You have to be on alert. When I was a kid, my head was against the wall, and I had to look out at the door.
No, I just wanted... I didn't. I believe that if I was against the wall and looking at it, that there was like a little, there was a space between like the wall and my bed, and I was small enough, like because I was like the size of like Violet at one point, so I was small enough that I could just shimmy myself down. I thought if they attacked me on top of the bed, I can shimmy down and crawl out the bottom, and I was a fast runner, so I was like, I'll get out of here.
Oh my God, that was such a good twist. I did not see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Ew. Yeah. Leslie.
I know.
Ugh, Nana.
Can't. Nana.
Can't. Oh, no. Look, everybody is like totally shaken right now. Ugh. Now everyone's going to have nightmares.
Yeah. I had a really hard time finishing that story. I was just like reading all the stuff about the hat man. I was like,
the hat man. I hate the hat. I hate the hat.
Because you just think, like, I would close my eyes and I could visualize him, but I just thought that it was, you know, just a dream, whatever. But then to see, like, people all over the world have the exact same.
It's the same thing. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, validating what you thought was just, like, your imagination. I hate that.
And I was young enough that I wouldn't have had too many, like, outside influences, you know?
I
wouldn't have seen that anywhere else.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Oh, my God. Terrible. Will has sleep paralysis, and like,
I'm gonna start calling out for Nana.
Don't do it. He when he has it, to wake himself up, he makes noise, but he can't move his face, like his mouth, so it just comes out like, ugh! And when we're sleeping in the same place, I cannot tell you how terrifying it was to have him wake up to him being like he was being stabbed in the middle of. Now I'm just like, get up, stop it. But at first I was like, oh, what's happening?
Well, you have to evoke the name of Jesus. And
no, you have to invoke the Nana. All...
evoke the Nana.
Where's our shirt that says invoke the Nana?
Oh, that should be a good one.
That's a good shirt.
Oh, you know what else I found out? So what? I have been, I have talked to several mediums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one I actually like went to, my girlfriend I went to in Cape May. She was really good. But then there was
the one by the bridge.
Yeah.
I went to her.
She was really good for me. She ended up going through the entire deck of cards with me and needed me to come back for a cleansing. It was very crazy.
That's a lot.
It was more like a therapy session, actually, which was great.
She was just pretty accurate with me. Yeah. But I was like the woman with like the little sign, like the little neon sign right by the bridge, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. I went to her too.
And then the other two were people through that I met through massaging. So, yeah. But all three of them have told me, they all mentioned that I have a traveler with me, like a white traveler. So somebody that's good.
Nana! Mm-hmm.
And they've all told me that after different descriptions, they're all still the same. They all say it has like this black hole. Like around here, which is she had died of like heart disease. So,
invoke the Nana.
And she's like said things to the mediums to like tell my mom stuff. Like,
what does Diane say?
Yeah, my mom's just like, oh, I don't know. She doesn't really believe it, but I think
she's going to say, does she buy it?
Not really, but at the same time, she is happy that like my Nana is here with me, like watching over me. Yeah, because she'll always say just like, I'm here, I'm watching her. Because they keep telling me that they're like pushing me in the right direction. But I have two travelers and I don't know who the second one really is.
What? You have an unidentified one?
Yeah, they think that it's all, every account thinks that it's like a younger person, but I don't know who it would be.
Well, now we have to research that. We have to find out who your other traveler is.
Yeah. But I think that's interesting that my Nana was actually, she was probably in the room with me. That after that night, she probably just stayed with me.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. Well, anybody who's out there in our listenership, I know John is pretty sensitive. Yeah. Maybe you need to like meet with them and talk with them. I totally want to find out who your other friend is.
It's been hard to figure out. I have some ideas, but I don't know. I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but
well, it's now our mission to find out.
Yeah. For sure.
Maybe we'll go on a journey and we'll record it. We'll go see people. That would be a fun mission. I like it.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a good one, Leslie.
Thank you.
You scared everybody. Everybody is terrified.
Awesome. All right. What's yours about?
Oh, mine pales in comparison to that.
That's why you went second. Just kidding.
I know. You should have went second. Yours is totally better this week. And John said he would love to help you find that out. So one time when we are allowed to be around people again, we'll have to get together with John and see what he's thinking. Okay. I think that would be awesome. Oh, Michaela, that's your next design. I love it. Invoke the Nana.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. Okay. Yeah, we'll check in with the peoples for 1 second before we move on to mine. Because like, that was a lot.
Yeah.
To handle. I'm going to have
a refill.
I'm good right now. I got my tequila. I have half of a margarita left.
Oh my God. Everyone's so funny. I'm glad you all liked it.
Yeah, it was super good. You turned the tables on everyone and we were all completely shaken by it. I can't say shook. I'm not in that. Yeah. I'm not cool enough to say that. I'm not cool enough to say that. You guys can say it if you want, but I am too old and not cool enough.
No.
So it's fine. I leave it to the youths. Okay. Did we all like, have we all shaken off the shadow people?
I don't think anybody can truly shake them off.
Nana. Is Nana in the room?
I feel it. She's here.
Thank God. All right. Well, I am talking about the Smutty Nose Axe Murders tonight.
Hmm.
So after your like terrifying, nebulous, ghosty story, I'll just tell you about some nice murders.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
So we can all sleep easier tonight.
Well, this was a long time ago and the guy was arrested. So like, he's definitely not coming to get you.
Okay.
Shadow people.
Unless he's the other traveler.
He is not the other traveler, William. Ugh. I know Leslie's displeased with you now. Shadow people might come and get you though. You don't know. Okay. I'm gonna get to going. Cool. On the morning of March 6th, 1873, George Ingerbretson was playing with his children on the front lawn of his cottage on Appledore Island. The weather was sunny and crisp. There was new snow on the ground. And it may have been there, but they could still sense the promise of spring to come. It was approximately 8 a.m. The Ingerbretsons had breakfast, completed their morning chores, and were enjoying this moment of relaxation. George looked briefly up from whatever silly game that he was engaged in with his children, and out of the corner of his eye, caught sight of something moving in the distance. It was a shadow person!
Whoa!
It wasn't. Just kidding. It was the sort of thing you have to look at twice. When George looked more closely, he could see a woman frantically waving from the shore of the neighboring island of Smutty Nose. Smutty Nose was all but uninhabited, and it was so strange to see this kind of activity on the shore. George waved back, thinking perhaps she was just the sort of person who enjoyed seeing his happy children at play. But no, that wasn't it. The woman kept furiously waving, and it dawned on George that she must be in some kind of trouble.
George jumped in his rowboat and paddled the quarter mile over to Smutty Nose, where he ran toward the woman who collapsed in sobs. The closer George got, the more apparent it was that this woman had been through something horrible. She was in her nightdress, which had been torn and bloodied. She was wrapped in a winter skirt and barefoot. She shivered and cried and told George that her name was Marin Hontovet, and she had escaped a murderer, but the other two women in her home had not. George put her in the rowboat and quickly brought her back to his wife before assembling a crew of men to head over to Smutty Nose to investigate. When the men made their way to the Red Cottage, the only house on Smutty Nose, they were met with a terrible sight. A body lay on the kitchen floor. It was a woman. She was small and fair and appeared to have been killed with an axe. Her long golden hair spread out in a sticky pool of coagulated blood on the floor. There had been clearly a struggle. A set of footprints in the sticky blood made their way to the back bedroom, and the men followed them. The blood became more copious as they followed, and it led them into the bedroom, where they found the second body under the bed. She had been hacked with an axe as well. It looked as though this woman had escaped her attacker and tried to hide, but eventually died from the blood loss. Horrified, the men searched the island for whomever could have done this, but it appeared to be empty. They wondered who could have possibly done this and how did anyone escape? When they got to the far side of the island, they found a large rock surrounded by footprints. The snow under the rock had been disturbed, and a little dog lay in the snow on top of a winter skirt, dotted with blood. Then it became clear. The third woman survived because she hid. Marin Hontovet had spent over 6 hours crouched in the freezing cold, while a murderer quietly made his escape, leaving only sorrow and destruction in his wake. Ooh. So, bad times on a tiny island.
Yeah. When was this again?
1873.
My goodness.
Yeah, we'll get into all of that. You know how I do.
Yeah.
My case this week is known as the Smutty Nose Axe Murders, obviously, which sounds either like some kind of weird porn or like a little kid who has just come in from the cold with a snotty face, and then instead of having hot chocolate, he decides to just kill his whole family.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Figure it out. Shockingly, it's neither one of those things.
Oh.
Weird, right? Smutty Nose is an island. Well, it's part of a cluster of islands, really, called the Isle of Shoals. And they are located off the coast of Maine and New Hampshire, which, like, you may be familiar with these. You lived in that area. Mm-hmm. Smutty Nose is the third largest of the cluster of extremely tiny islands, coming in at just 25 acres total. So it's like a very little, tiny little island out in the middle of nowhere. Appledore Island off the coast of Maine, which is a decently popular vacation destination featuring two hotels and a host of famous past visitors, is the largest in that cluster of island. So people go to that one, but not the other ones. Smutty Nose, however, is rather desolate and remains uninhabited to this day. It's got its name because of the hook-shaped protuberance on the edge of the island that often gathers large, dense clots of seaweed, thus resembling a nose with snots. Mm-hmm. Or a smutty nose, I know, as they called it back then. So I really wasn't that far off in the beginning of this.
Yeah.
There are two houses, just two, on the entire island of Smutty Nose. One is thought to have dated back to the 1600s. It's just like ruins of what would have been a house. And the other we will talk about today, the Red House. A house that was the setting of one of the most vicious axe murders on the East Coast. And I say one of the most because the Borden family wasn't too far away over in Fall River, Massachusetts. And that murder featured a far more enthusiastic set of axe work. But the Bordens are another story for another time. And I have big opinions on Lizzie Borden. So
yeah,
it'll be fun when we cover
it. I do too, because I know that story very well.
I think we have the same big opinions.
Okay.
To be honest with you, yeah. I don't know that she did it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very unpopular opinion, but I have a lot of doubts.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I digress. Since the island was first settled by Europeans in the early 17th century, it was known as good for only one thing, and that was fishing, which is exactly what drew a man named John Hontovet to immigrate from Norway in 1868 to Smutty Nose. Well, technically, he immigrated to Boston and then settled in a two-story red cottage on Smutty Nose Island. It is believed that John rented the cottage from a family who resided on Appledore. John enjoyed financial success trawl fishing on his boat, the Clarabelle, which is cute, but sounds like a cow. My boat's better.
Yeah, the Ravenmacher.
My boat, the Ravenmacher, trumps Clarabelle like a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sure. That's going to win. Every day,
it is. Mm-hmm. Every day for John was the same. He would fish off the coast, sell what he caught in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, stop to buy bait, and then return home to Smutty Nose, where he was the only inhabitant of the island. Can you imagine?
No.
Oh, that sounds like hell to me. It's just you on an island. That's it. And if that isn't a creepy situation, like, I don't know what is. But it didn't last for too long.
Some Fortunately, people, before, some people thrive in that environment.
I guess he worked a lot. And he was just like making his life happen. But he knew that it wasn't going to last for too long because before John left for the States, his parents arranged for him to marry a woman named Maren Christensen. The Hantevets and the Christensens lived in Hedrum, Norway, and were moderately friendly with one another. Like, they kind of knew each other. They were in the same town. Mm-hmm. Maren was their eldest daughter, and she was born on November 23rd, 1835. Maren was a quiet and pleasant woman. She was well-liked, but at a whopping unmarried 35, she was considered to be something of a hopeless spinster at the time. Hmm. So yeah, this is the mid-1800s, and she was 35 and unmarried. So take a breath. And remember that I said, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we recognize now that people should marry if and when they want, and that does not mean this was the ideal then. But we can change our perspectives, and we cannot change history.
I mean, I feel like an old hag already, and I'm 33.
Get out of here.
Married 33-year-old.
First of all, you're getting married soon. Second of all, this is true then. It's not true now. That's why I have that in there, like, everybody calm down.
No, my time has passed. Put me out to pasture.
There are shadow people out there. Don't do it. Okay, but back to Norway. Maren's family was thrilled to have a suitable match for their daughter, finally. The Hantevet's successful son, John, was more than they could have hoped for. The Christensens were sad to have to ship Maren off to America, but they were happy to give her what they believed to be a shot at a better life and a family. Shortly after their wedding, John left for Boston, and a few months later, Maren boarded a ship to America with her little dog, Ringe.
Oh, I like that.
A cute little dog name, right?
Yeah.
She and John met up in Boston and then made their way back to Smutty Nose to begin their life together.
I love it.
Right? So cute. Maren was frequently lonely, and frankly, who wouldn't be? She was alone on an island most of the time while her husband fished. I just can't get past being the only person on an island.
Yeah.
There's no way that was pleasant. But she took to married life well, decorating the cottage with bright paint and pretty knickknacks. She was a good housekeeper and cook, and she and John were reported to be happy enough. The landscape of the island is also pretty harsh. I should have mentioned this. It's not like you're in like a pleasant forest or you can garden or anything. Mm-hmm. It's all thorns and brambles. The whole 25 acres of the island has not a single tree.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very harsh and very desolate. There's a reason nobody lives on it.
Okay.
So it's not like she was having like a grand old time out there. It was just like, you have to be in your house or nothing.
Man.
Yeah, I know. It's rough. And that, so it didn't give Maren much to do beyond the confines of her home. The Hantevets lived like this for 3 years, until much to her delight, in 1871, Maren's sister Karen. Yes, I know.
There's a Karen. Rhyming,
the rhyming is kind of insufferable.
Is she a Karen?
What?
Is she a Karen?
Kind of. No. You can judge at the end. You can tell me if you think she's a Karen or not.
All right.
Anyway. Karen had lost her lover. Now, I'm assuming he died, but the phrasing is always lost. So who knows? Maybe he just like got away from her in the department store. I don't know. Where is he? Come on. I gotta relocate. So she decided to start her life afresh in America. Maren was able to get her sister a job as a live-in maid at the hotel on Appledore Island. So with Karen close by, the sisters were able to occasionally visit with one another, and life became more bearable for Maren. So she had a little bit of company. Mm-hmm. In 1872, John and Maren took on a boarder named Louis Wagner. He was a young fisherman, originally from Germany. Louis was down on his luck and needed a place to live. And John had befriended him in the like community of fishermen in the Isle of Shoals. Louis, he decided to give Louis a job on his fishing boat and a place to live in his home. Both John and Marin were very kind to Lewis, hoping he would be able to get back on his feet. Despite their success, John and Marin sorely missed their home in Norway. Norway. They were delighted when more of their family decided to relocate to the Shoals. John's fishing business had gotten so successful that he was able to bring his brother Matthew, as well as Marin's beloved brother Ivan, and his new wife Annetta to Smutty Nose, where the trio would live with John and Marin. Ivan. What?
Sorry, this is great. There's like a whole party. Oh,
everybody's gonna be there. Marin's gonna have company. John's gonna have people to help on the boat. This is like a delightful
commune.
Yeah. Matthew and Ivan would work on board John's fishing boat, and Annetta would keep house with Marin. Marin was overjoyed. With the arrival of Matthew, Ivan, and Annetta at hand, John and Marin realized they would no longer have room for their boarder, Lewis, and told him he would have to relocate.
Oh. Wah, wah. Poor Lewis.
It gets worse. John would be able to keep Lewis employed on his boat for a few more weeks, but when his brother and brother-in-law arrived, Lewis would also be out of a job. So he was like, you can't live with me anymore. Also, you're fired.
This is the worst.
I feel like that's really rough, but also like, what are you going to do? Your family's coming.
That's like parents did to my brother. Can't live here anymore and you're no longer a pool boy.
And, worst. Anyway. However, like, when you think about it, this guy Lewis was like kind of a drifter. He was super poor and had nowhere to live. And they were like, okay, well, we'll help you get back on your feet. And now you're back on your feet. So move along. We're bringing in our family. That's how they saw the situation. Lewis stayed on with the Hontovets for 5 weeks after the arrival of Matthew, Ivan, and Annetta before he was able to book his passage on another fishing scooter called the Addison Gilbert. Unfortunately, the Addison Gilbert would wreck, leaving Lewis in Portsmouth, New Hampshire without a penny to his name. Just as it wrecked, I'm like, did it sink? Did people die? Was it dramatic? I don't know. It just stopped being a cool place to be.
What do you feel like it was?
I don't know. I feel like they said wreck, so I feel like something happened to it. My fire needs to be replenished. Yeah. So I feel like something happened to it, but I don't think people died. I think it just like it was like a slow sink and they were able to get away.
Okay, cool.
So he would rent a room with a family in Portsmouth, but struggled to find work. He was reportedly destitute. Lewis was seen unkempt with holes in his shoes looking for work amongst the fishermen. So it did not turn out well for him. Meanwhile, back on the island of Smutty Nose, Karen, Marin's rimy sister, had lost her job at the hotel on Appledore and came to stay at the Red House with the rest of her family. Quarters were tight, but they were all happy to be together. In the midst of all this activity, spring had arrived. It was early March and snow had just fallen. Business had been very good for John the past winter, and he had been able to save $600, which was more than a year's salary for an average fisherman at the time.
Okay.
So he's killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Their extended family had been able to stay warm and well-fed, and the men even had a chance to unwind in a pub occasionally on the mainland. Recently, John had bumped into Lewis. Remember old Lewis?
Yeah, I remember.
He was not in the best condition, as we may recall, but he hid it pretty well. He socialized with John, Matthew, and Ivan, inquiring how business was going, and John was quick to brag about his success. And why not? His money was hard-earned, and Lewis must not bear him any ill will, especially since John and his wife had been so kind to him and done so much for him. Like, I feel like that's naive, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Lewis seemed to be happy for John and went about his way. On March 5th, John, Matthew, and Ivan rose at dawn and went to work on the Clara Belle. The women passed the day affably at home, expecting the men to return in time for supper as usual. The weather, however, began to change. A strong wind had blown in and more snow began to fall. The men finished selling their catch of the day in Portsmouth, purchased their next day's bait as usual, and then went to sail home. But the wind was as such that they would not be able to return home that evening and found a room at an inn in Portsmouth, then headed to the pub for dinner and a quick drink. So these are like three guys that fish and sail on this boat every single day. And the weather was so bad that they couldn't go home. And it was not that far.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind. They were nervous about leaving the women at home, but they would be home as soon as possible the next morning to explain the whole affair. Lewis was in the pub again that evening, and the men lamented their situation to him. Lewis seemed keenly interested in their predicament. but John assumed that he was just a concerned friend. The men finished their drinks and retired to the inn. Back in the Red Cottage, Marin and Karen, and Annetta had prepared supper for the men and tried to keep it hot. But by 10 o'clock, the three women finally ate their meal. They waited till 10 o'clock to eat.
It happens.
Yeah, like eat and then just like put their plate aside. Come on, girls. But they finally ate at 10 o'clock and left the food out for the men in case they came home late and then went to bed. They were concerned, but noticed the weather and figured that the men had found lodging for the night and would ride out the storm on the mainland. Marin and Annetta would share a bed in the master bedroom, and Karen would sleep on a couch in the kitchen by the fire. Everything was quiet until midnight. Marin and Annetta were woken up by screams. It was Karen. She was screaming and struggling mightily with a man who was wielding an axe and strangling her. Dang. Karen had clearly already been struck with the axe quite a few times, as the scene was quite bloody. Marin rushed through the door and grabbed her sister, pulled her away from the man and started to run deeper into the house. You know how moms get like Hulk strength where they can pull a car off their kid? I feel like that's what happened. Because I'm reading this thinking like, how did this little woman, and she wasn't supposedly very big, like yank an angry man with an axe off her, like get her sister away from him? But she did. Annetta had rushed out behind Marin and seeing the violence just went catatonic. She couldn't follow her. She just stood there in shock, like gaping at what was happening. While Marin and Karen ran into the bedroom and hid under the bed, the man turned his attention to Annetta and began to strike her with the axe. Annetta began to scream. Marin told Karen that they had to climb out the window to run and hide. If they hid in the darkness, they might be able to escape, but it was too late. Karen had lost too much blood. Her words became slurred, and she said she was just too tired to do it. I know, this part's really sad. It was clear that she wasn't going to make it, so Marin said goodbye to her sister, grabbed a couple winter skirts from her dresser, wrapped them around her shoulders, and then noticed her little dog, Ringe, barking at the closed door. She picked up Ringe, climbed out the window, and ran into the freezing, thorny night. So she saved the dog.
That's nice.
I know.
I got nervous when you mentioned the clothes. I was just like, we don't have time for fashion.
Leave your skirt, take the dog.
Damn it, take the dog.
Leave your skirt, take the dog, invoke the Nana. We're fine.
Yeah.
As she ran, she could hear Annetta screaming from the kitchen, and she tried to block it out so she could run, but she just couldn't. She heard Annetta screaming, Lewis, Lewis, no. Right. And then she was silent. Marin found her way to a large rock on the edge of the island, and there she waited until morning. The next day after Marin's rescue, John, Matthew, and Ivan returned at around 10 a.m. They were on their way to the cottage on Smutty Nose and in pretty good spirits, happy to be headed home, when they noticed a group of men flagging down their ship on Appledore. Matthew and Ivan got into their rowboat and headed, because like they had a little rowboat on the big boat so they could row ashore after that was like anchored. They got into their rowboat and headed ashore while John docked the Clarabelle in its home on Smutty Nose. Ivan and Matthew found their way to Marin, and all Ivan could do was shout, "Where is Annetta?" And Marin could only reply, "She is home." Awful. Fortunately, I know, it's really sad. Fortunately, Marin was able to recount the night to authorities and her husband, and it took no time at all to piece together what had happened. Lewis Wagner had stolen a rowboat and rowed to Smutty Nose Island under the cover of darkness, where he killed the women to steal John's savings. Then he rowed away, and afterwards, he returned to the Johnsons, which is the house where he was renting in Portsmouth, like the room in the house, where he changed some of his clothes. Lewis caught a 9 a.m. train for Boston, and there he purchased some new boots and a new suit of clothes. John Honfed had told the authorities, of course, about Wagner's usual hangouts there. And that evening, the Boston police found him. When arrested, Wagner was wearing his new suit over his old clothes, and he offered no resistance. Lewis was brought back to Portsmouth and met with a crowd of 500 screaming fishermen. They were like, "Kill him! Get him!" They were freaking out because the fishing community was very close.
Yeah.
Because of this, authorities brought his trial a couple towns over to Alfred, Maine, so that the judge and jury would still be impartial. Mm-hmm. Lewis was convicted of all of the murders and hanged for his crime. And it took a jury 55 minutes to convict him, which in case you haven't read about a lot of juries, that's so, so fast. Even in cases that seem pretty obvious, it usually takes them like 4 hours. This was less than an hour and he was convicted. The postscript on this case is the weirdest part, because the evidence he was convicted on was almost entirely circumstantial. Mm-hmm. It was what a lot of people said. People said they saw him steal the rowboat that night. People said that he told them that he was going to steal money from John Hunt event. But this was after it had all happened. And as we know, people love to confess to things just to like get in on the notoriety. And this case was huge. And Lewis insisted until he met the hangman that he was innocent, vehemently. They had footprints in the house and in the snow outside the house of boots that looked like his, but they couldn't identify that they were definitely his. They were just the same size. And he had a white button in his coat pocket that matched the buttons on Karen's nightgown.
Okay.
Why would you take a button?
You gotta take a souvenir.
Do you? This wasn't like a trophy killing. This was like, I don't know.
Or he just could have ripped it and just put it, you know, like without thinking.
Without thinking, I guess. Yeah. But the weirdest part of this is that he insisted that it was Marin who had committed these crimes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He said that she had killed her sister and her sister-in-law. And there are a lot of theories that say she was having an affair with her sister-in-law and her sister caught her. And then she killed them both and she ran away and she made up the story. Mm. It's super crazy. But it's, I mean, like you can see where the theory came from. It's
Which
this
one
theory.
Was the sister-in-law?
Yeah. The sister-in-law was Annetta. Look at Belle behind you.
Oh, I know. Isn't that the best picture? I didn't realize my. Here's my family, everybody.
But yeah, this theory is published in the, I believe it's Anita Shreve book called The Weight of Water, which is a great book. You all should read it. It's a total summer read, page turner. But she publishes the theory that Marin had a long-standing affair with Annetta, her brother's wife.
Yeah. Okay. And that makes sense.
Right?
She would have gone after Karen first, mm-hmm. and then would have come in the room, been able to take the axe away from her because they're, like, probably of equal stature, and been like, don't kill her. Like, mm-hmm. fine.
And the only, like, hard evidence they had that it was absolutely Lewis in that house was Marin saying she heard Annetta say Lewis. She said she didn't even see the man. She didn't know what he looked like. She just struggled, but she heard him yell this, which I think is very interesting. They also found evidence afterwards that the killer had stayed in the house and eaten the meal left on the table.
Oh.
Just also very strange.
An appetite.
I know. Like, it was rough work and they got hungry. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So that's the crazy dramatic other theory on that. And the other thing is, and this is the part, the biggest monkey wrench for me in this case. Lewis's lawyer only really had one leg to stand on. And his defense that he rested on until the final day was, how could one man in a rowboat row 10 miles across seas that three experienced fishermen couldn't make it across themselves?
Oh.
They said it simply wouldn't have been possible. I mean, my argument is that
he's been waiting on the boat. Mm. Like, you could have had a friend. He was like, just wait here. I have some business to take care of.
Yeah. The other theory that Lewis threw out there, because he loved to, like, say other people did it, was that John had hired someone to kill his family because he was tired of them. That's the least plausible to me.
Yeah. I don't think so.
But the Marin theory, I like that one.
Yeah.
Because it does stand to reason. Like, one guy in a little rowboat rowing through a windstorm and seas and snow that, like, a big boat wasn't going to go across.
Right.
And he did it in 2 hours' time because he was seen in the pub until 10 o'clock. And then the murders were said to happen at midnight, according to Marin.
This is wild.
Right? So, like, it really is, I don't, as much as they said, like, we found our guy, we hanged him, it's done. I don't know that they did.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's still on that island. Whoever did it.
He's still there. It was a shadow person. Smutty Nose. So, yeah, that's the story of the Smutty Nose Axe Murders.
That was good. I like that.
Thank you.
Ending was great.
Yeah, it's a little twist.
Yeah.
But we're all having nightmares from your story tonight, so. Should we toast?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think. I don't have a toaster. Maybe my Nana.
We have to toast to Nana. Nana is the takeaway of the evening. Mm-hmm. Will's nodding his head. He said yes to Nana.
To Nana.
Aw, cheers, Nana.
Almost cheers you with my phone. Cheers. Mm-hmm.
I don't really know who to toast to in my story because, like,
I guess to Karen and to Karens everywhere.
Do you think she was a Karen?
Yeah, that's like, we'll toast to her. Poor Karen. She died brutally. She was just.
I think I may have skipped the part where she ended up living with them because she was fired from the hotel.
No, you said that.
I did. Okay, good. So I'm going to toast Annetta.
Okay.
Because she was just like brought there. Oh. Unless she was the one having the affair. We don't know. See, like,
that's what I mean. I don't know. Karen was just all caught up in it. She got fired.
Karen was caught up in it. All right, the Karen. We'll give it to Karen tonight. Not to Karen everywhere. Yeah. Just that Karen.
Okay, just that Karen.
Okay.
It's a win for Karen.
Yes. And I guess if we were stranded hiding from a murderer under a rock on a desolate island and then confronted by a terrifying shadow person, we would be dead.
We would definitely.
Yeah, we'd be dead like 8 times over.
Yeah.
Thank you guys, everybody, for listening. And I have to like go back and read some of my comments. Oh, Jason Smith. I would love to eventually have like a road trip where we visit a lot of these sites. The cottage is absolutely still there. You can go to the Red House. So yeah, there's newspaper articles. I did a copious amount of research on this. And my recount of this story is a sewing together of the billion other accounts that are out there, none of which like dates and hard facts very much. Mm-hmm. So I found that like, all my facts are in at least 2 to 3 other places because it's just so crazy. But yes, cottage is still there. We can go there and we can go to visit Leonardo Cianciulli's cauldron in Italy.
Yep.
We'll go to Key West and see Carl Tanzler's site, wherever we can see. All that stuff.
Awesome. I love that.
Sounds good.
Great.
So... Any news? In the Tuesday, Wednesday region, you'll have our wrap up on the Black Dahlia. Sunday is Violet and Leslie's birthday. So we will not be working then, but you should all take time out of your day to wish Leslie a great big happy birthday on Sunday. Send her hearts and love and all of those things.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we'll come back to you then with the rest of the Black Dahlia, and we will be back here next week for more campfire stories at 10 o'clock on Friday, as usual.
Yeah.
And I think that's all, just as long as nobody has any questions.
Does anybody have anything?
Yeah, do we have any questions?
They want to go to Salem?
Salem is my favorite place. Salem is my favorite place. Will and I have been there like 10 times. And like, actually, when this nonsense is over, hopefully by October, we were trying to get Leslie and John to come with us this year. Which would have been
fun. Like a honeymoon.
Yes. We need to make that happen. It's going to be the most fun.
Honeymoon with the naps.
You can just meet up with us like a couple little times.
Yeah. Okay.
Dual mini moon. That's what we did in Salem. We went there for like just a couple days, and then we went on like our real honeymoon later when we could have time off.
Yeah.
Because October is still kind of like in season where we live. So.
Yeah. Crazy.
I don't think we have any questions. I think we're good. Okay. Yes, Jason Smith. A We Would Be Dead Facebook group Zoom session would be super fun.
Oh, that would be really fun. Yeah.
I would love that. So let's try and like everybody on the Facebook group, let's make that come together in the future, because that sounds like a really good time. And I would love to hear from you guys if you have stories about shadow people or any of that stuff. We want to hear your accounts.
Tell me your stories.
Tell us your stories.
I don't want to hear them.
You know what else, though? If we have enough people write into us, if you guys have a ghost story in your life, we could do an edition of Campfire Stories where we tell listener stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We could make that happen. So if you guys have a story you want us to tell by the campfire, please send us a message on Facebook. Get in touch with one of us. I think we do have emails. We would be dead email, right?
Yeah, we would be dead at gmail.com.
Yeah. It's either that or would be dead pod.
I think I did. We would be, maybe it's we would be dead podcast at gmail.com.
Listen, we'll put it in the Facebook group. We'll put it on our thing. If you have a ghost story, send it to us. We will be happy to tell it around the campfire. Please share our video from tonight, because we would love to have as many people see it as possible. Give us a rating or review. Please, 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 please. I'm shamelessly begging for ratings and reviews, because they really are what's going to get us to the next level, which we would like to get to very much.
Yeah.
We're working super hard, and we want to get the word about all of our stuff out there. And I think that's all we have this week.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get on that and do some more fun, exciting stuff in the week to come. Everybody stay safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. And don't be dead.
There you go.
Bye.
Bye.